Minimalist Podcast. I'm your host, Katie Coffrin, and I'm here to give you minimalist and simple living tips that will help you find your kind of minimalism. For day-to-day updates, you can find me on Instagram at howtobeaminimalist, and you can also email me at howtobeaminimalist@gmail.com. To find my books and articles, including freebies, check out my website, katiecoffrin.com. You can find the link in the details. And now, it's time for the show. Episode number 25. Why I love tiny house living. Hello, my friends. It is Monday again, and we are back with another episode. And thank you so much for joining me. I have really been thinking about this podcast a lot and what it has changed and grown into. And it amazes me, truly. And I'm just so happy that you are here listening. So thanks for being here. I have a couple of new reviews this week and I wanted to read those. So let's see. Kristen Rodolfo says great and gave it 5 stars. She says, I really enjoy listening to Katie. She offers lots of tips, ideas, and understands that everyone's minimalism journey may be different. And thank you so much for Kristen for leaving the review. It is so wonderful to get reviews. It's helpful and shows me that you guys want the show to go on. And also, it just helps with visibility and all of that sort of thing. And so thank you so much. I know it's hard to get that moment to go ahead and leave a review and a rating sometimes. But when you guys do it, it means a lot to me. Matthew P.E. also says great and gave it 5 stars and said, enjoy this podcast very much. So thank you. Thank you so much for the reviews. In other news, I have a new patron this week, and that would be Mary. And just thank you so much for becoming a patron. And it is so helpful and supports the show. And you just have all of my love, Mary. So thank you very much. As far as my personal update goes on my goals, I know I read 4 books of my 20 books that I wanted to read in 2020, and I started a vegan cheese making one. However, I don't think I finished that one. I need to go through and see where I am on that. I know it sounds kind of funny to like put a recipe book down as a goal to read, but I really have never read a recipe book all the way through, and I wanted to do that. So that's one of my books. I have been craving some fiction, and in the paranormal or fantasy realm, there is a beautiful covered trilogy that I have been meaning to finish, and I have not gotten to it. And these books are actually by 2 of my beloved friends, Mary Gray and Cammie Larson, and it is the Sisters of Blood Creek series. And so I'm going to read that trilogy, and I am so excited. I just really have needed something good to read. And if you go and look, check out the link, I'll leave the link down below. If you look at the covers, they are amazing. Like, they just make you want to go and dive right into them. So yeah, go look at the covers at the link below and check them out. They're going to be amazing. I'm really excited to read through those. Also, unrelated to my goals for the year, but related to our house goals, I busted through making 8 curtain panels for our RV to finish up some of our renovations. We are like, it's pretty much done, and I love it. And finishing those curtains, I couldn't believe how much of a cozy feel it gave to our home. And it made me so happy to have those curtains up. And our house just looks so pretty now. It sounds kind of funny to say that, but I've always wanted to have a home that was really, I guess, to our taste. And we've never had that. We've tried, but I don't think we've ever gotten any of our homes exactly how we wanted them. And our house is not exactly the way we want it yet. However, the living spaces in our home are just, they're like so pretty now, and they are beautiful, and we've created this thing together. And something about finishing those curtain panels and kind of checking that one off the list made me realize how much I love our tiny home. And it made me realize that I wanted to talk about this today for our topic. So I don't have a something interesting article for you today. I'm just going to talk to you about reasons I love living in a tiny house. I actually did an episode on this, I think with Josiah, my husband, in one of the Patreon episodes, but I don't know why. I just haven't really done it on this podcast yet. I mean, we've talked about the tiny house living kind of situation. We haven't talked about it as a full-on episode. I guess mostly I feel like pretty much we live the same as we did before in a lot of ways. And so it doesn't seem that interesting to me. However, I know a lot of people are thinking about it or are just curious about it. So I'm going to dive right in and get going on some of the reasons I love it. And I'll definitely throw in some of the reasons that it's maybe not for everyone or some of the bumps that we've had to kind of deal with that we've found in our road, I guess you could say. Just to be clear, we live in an RV and it is my husband and I and our kids, and we have a miniature dachshund and a cat. For us, it is cozy and we have renovated it so that it is perfect for us and our family. We all have our own spaces and it's just so nice and cozy, and we have a big slide, and when that's popped out in particular, it just feels really open. And I honestly think that it is as large of a living space as some of the apartments that we've lived in. So it feels really comfortable inside to us. And I guess that's one of my favorite things about it and living in a tiny house. It's cozy and you feel comfortable. At least I feel comfortable living in a cozy space like that. I have never, ever wanted to live in a giant home. The homes that we've had that were larger were overwhelming, and it always amazed me that we always usually ended up tucking into just a few of the rooms. Like the house that we ended up renovating, it was 2,700 square feet, and at first we were excited to have such a large home, and then I just noticed everyone ended up hanging out in our bedroom, the smaller living room, and the kitchen. And that was pretty much it. And the backyard and the front yard, like we were always outside. We're outside people. So it was, you know, that's kind of an interesting thing that in our RV, we use up all of this space. It's not for everyone, that's for sure. But for us, being able to have a space that we all feel comfortable in, it makes me really happy. One of the challenges we had with that was the seating area. Seating is kind of funny because my husband, he likes larger seating because he's a tall guy, and I like to be kind of cozy and curled up and sitting down. And it's just, I wanted everyone to be able to have a seat that they felt comfortable in. So we ended up going with a couple of benches in a corner. So it's kind of like a little reading nook. And then we have our couch that we built. I believe I put that on my Instagram account, which is at How to Be a Minimalist, but I'll try to tag that down below. Anyway, really, as soon as we put the little bench nook in and had the couch, everyone had a space and everyone is happy and can lounge and hang out, and it's just really, really nice. So that would be one of my very favorite things about living in a tiny home. It's cozy and it's well-loved. And it's all utilized. You don't have like creepy giant living rooms that nobody ever uses. I don't know why. I don't like those big living rooms that like no one ever goes in. They creep me out. Anyway, another, like one of the biggest reasons why we decided that we wanted to go ahead and full-time RV and shift from a sticks and bricks to a tiny home on wheels was that we wanted our kids to be able to have experiences that we didn't get. And we both had some wonderful experiences as children, that is for sure. But we knew that what we could give our kids by staying in a home would be not as much. I guess it would be different than if we went ahead and tried out Tiny Home on Wheels. Full-time RVing has allowed us to take our children to go and do and see things that we probably would have never gotten to or would have taken so much longer to get to. Homeschooling this way has been a beautiful experience. We have loved being able to study something and learn about something and then go and track down that item and actually physically go and see it instead of just looking at pictures or a video on the internet or in a book. We've also enjoyed stumbling upon history that we didn't really expect to find, but either through a national park or a cultural center or a museum, we have been able to find things. I remember we went on a hike once, I believe it was in Montana, and we were just planning on going on this hike, but it turned out that this hike ran along a railroad that had so much history packed into it, and they had all these signs all over the place, and they went through the history of this railroad, and it was just like amazing. There was so much packed into that small space. It actually led us to go and find the town that was associated with this railroad and the whole story that had occurred with it. Anyway, we weren't planning on getting that, but because we were in the area, we were able to go and kind of enjoy our hike, but also get that history lesson and dive deeper and learn something we would have never known before. I also find that exploring the way that we do in the summertime really helps our children to piece history together in like kind of a timeline-wise, because time is actually really a difficult thing to teach to children. It's really hard to grasp, you know, not having a cell phone or only being able to get mail delivered via a carriage or whatever. Like they don't really understand what it used to be like, and I'm doing air quotes there. Some of that stuff is just so difficult to grasp that going and traveling around and learning those little bits of history, we're kind of able to plug in puzzle pieces, and they're getting a much better picture of what our country has been through. And it's a wonderful way to learn and explore. And I'm so glad that we live in an RV for this purpose. It was our dream. It was one of the biggest reasons why we wanted to homeschool, and it's just amazing to be able to do that. We definitely give up some opportunities in order to live in an RV full-time. You know, some people don't, you know, they never invite themselves over. They feel uncomfortable doing that. Although whenever people do pop in, it's great. And we, now that the home is renovated, I feel like we will have people over more because it's so much more comfortable and inviting, and it's like have people over friendly. And so I think that that will probably change in the coming months. However, that is definitely something that you kind of give up, or might possibly give up depending on what kind of a tiny home you are looking at or thinking of getting. There are a lot of opportunities that we have gained because we live in a tiny home. One of the biggest things is that we have a lot more time to be able to do other things that we would like to do because we are not caring for a yard. Since we rent our little space at an RV park, you know, they take care of the lawn. They do all of those things. They take care of the maintenance, and it's not something that we have to worry about. It's a huge deal. It's amazing. I remember spending all day Saturday doing yard work. And some of it I loved because I really do love gardening and being outside and all of that sort of thing. But when you are raking up a billion leaves and it takes all day, and then, you know, you're trying to mow your lawn after that, it's just, it takes up so much time. And we got to the point where we were just not really interested in doing that anymore. We wanted to spend our time doing other things. Having that extra time, we've been able to spend it doing other things as a family that we have wanted to do. And it's been wonderful. Sometimes that might mean that we just have a game night, or sometimes it means our Saturday is just a little bit more relaxing, or whatever. It means a lot of different things. I feel like I've been able to pursue some of these things, writing my fiction books, writing my nonfiction books, doing this podcast. I think all of these things have happened because we have more time, and it just makes me so happy to be able to spend time doing those things. Now, if you have a big home, whether you spend, you know, 15 minutes mowing a small patch of grass or 3 hours mowing your lawn on Saturday, I am not putting any of that down. We loved our homes that we had, and you get this sense of pride and joy from mowing a lawn and taking care of it. But we were excited to have the trade-off of time, and it's been a real blessing in our lives to be able to have that. I still want a garden. Josiah doesn't. I don't think he cares, but I would love to have a garden. And it's quite possible that, you know, we will get property at some point and kind of change what we're doing. But for right now, we're really enjoying having that extra time and the opportunities it creates. One of my favorite things about living in an RV is that it is so easy to clean, you guys. I hate cleaning so much, but I can't stand to live in filth. I spend as much time as I need to make it clean, and that's it. I want it to be clean and I want it to be organized, but I get no joy. Like, I know people that have fun cleaning, and if you are one of those people, that is good for you. You might want to look into some other hobbies, just saying. But if you enjoy it, if it makes you happy, then you do you, and it's all good. I personally don't like cleaning, so if I don't have to spend an hour cleaning 3 bathrooms, that is just a major bonus for me in my life. And, you know, we have 1 bathroom in our RV, and it's great. Wipes down really, really fast. I can clean the whole RV top to bottom, vacuum, mop, everything in 45 minutes. And that's like, you know, kind of sorting out, you know, the cupboards and making sure everything is tidy. It's amazing. Another benefit that we've found is that it is so easy to be able to renovate. It's like, it's pretty budget friendly actually to live in a small home. Now, of course, the downside is that living in an RV, you'll have exterior or like chassis related issues that you have to work through. So some of that is a challenge, and it can be very frustrating. However, Josiah has done a wonderful job of figuring things out, and he has fixed so many of our issues all by himself, and it has saved us so much money. It's amazing. One of the things that has been awesome, though, is that we've been able to renovate our RV in a really good amount of time, and, you know, by paying cash just because we did one little thing at a time. But we were able to do those things and get them done like pretty quickly. Like, often we were able to do at least 2 projects a month because we did them ourselves. So we were just purchasing materials, and we needed so few materials to accomplish a project that it was within our budget, which is really nice. I remember when we put new flooring into that 2,700 square foot home, it was like one of the worst bills we've ever gotten. It was horrible. It's so nice having a small space. Like, even our furniture, we are able to kind of go with higher quality or even spendier items because it's like, well, we're going to make it last and we can afford it because we don't need 10 couches. We just need to get this one little area taken care of. So that has been a really nice thing. And there are a lot of ways that it is very budget friendly. It really, really works for us. Those would be my top reasons for my love of tiny house living. If you are considering living in a small home or tiny house, apartment, condo, small space, whatever you want to call it, I would definitely consider your lifestyle and whether it would suit it or not. I know some people like have a lot of kids and they go and want to RV full time, and it might work for them, especially if it's not like for a really extended period of time. But I was recently over returning something to a neighbor, and I didn't go inside or anything, but I could just see the very first part of their entryway to their trailer, and it's that classic dark RV interior. Everything was just really dark, and also it was a mess. It was cluttered, and it was full of stuff. It made me sad. I know a lot of people think that I probably judge everyone when I walk into their homes. I really, really don't. This home in particular was really, really out of sorts, and it just made me sad for the family because it's a very, very small space. It's definitely smaller than ours, and they have more people in theirs, and it just, I don't think it's working for them. And I think that people forget how much our space impacts our mood and our general feelings of either peace or stress. And I don't know why we don't like connect that more often. It took me a really long time. And it actually took me observing Josiah and our conversations that we had to realize that the way he feels when he walks in the door depends pretty much on what he sees. If he sees a mess when he walks in the door, he is just stressed. And it has, like, he can't help it. It's just what occurs in his brain. And when I have a similar experience. When I walk towards the kitchen, I'm supposed to make dinner or breakfast or whatever, and it's messy, I feel stress. And once I made that connection, it made me realize that those things are like little to-do lists that run in the back of our minds, and they feel overwhelming to us, especially if we're coming home from work or have had a busy day, or if we're a stay-at-home parent that is just trying to do the best they can to keep on top of what's already going on, and it seems impossible to make progress towards minimizing things or cleaning things up or getting things in a better order than they are right now. So when I saw that family living in that situation, and they're a happy, sweet little family, but it just made me feel bad because I don't think that they realize what they're missing out on. I don't think they realize that they are missing out on the benefits of living in a clean, peaceful space. If you are considering tiny house living, whatever kind of a tiny space we're talking about, whether it has wheels or not, that's something to consider, I think. Like, how does everyone in your family feel about it? How would that suit them? And sometimes it's just like, you got to go for it. If you know it's the right thing to do, sometimes you just do it. You can always move back into a sticks and bricks if you want to. It does not have to be a permanent thing. You know, if you don't think it's going to be right, but you really, really want to try it, you can always do it later. And we originally said, okay, well, we'll do this for, I think we said a year or something. And then we've just kind of, we always readdress the issue around the 1 year mark. And we've been in this RV for 2 years now, over 2 years, and around the 2 year mark, the annual marker there, we addressed that, like, okay, so what are we doing? Are we going to keep on living in our RV? And the answer is yes for now, but we don't really know what else is going to happen. We don't know what is ahead in our path. So that's another thing. Watch HGTV shows about tiny house living, or the YouTube, or I know there are YouTube channels on it, but Netflix also has some documentary type things on tiny house living. And it kind of makes it all seem perfect and like your life is going to be blissful. And tiny house living does not solve all of your problems. You, in some ways, it can kind of create problems because then you have to adjust your whole lifestyle to living that way in order to really benefit from the wonderful things that it can bring. And sometimes making those lifestyle changes can just be really, really hard. So watch the shows, check people out. You know, I hope this podcast helps you if you're considering it, and I hope it was just entertaining if you aren't but are curious about it. But yeah, I would definitely consider the people in your family and yourself. And it's okay if it's not for you, even if you really, really want it to be for you. And also, I think that I sort of knew that I would be really happy living in a small space. I was actually worried about my husband, but it has been a really good thing for both of us. We've both been able to feel a lot of peace and the ability to have more control in our lives. And it has been wonderful for our children because it's brought us closer together. There are definitely challenges, but it has been, for us, totally worth it. Whether you live in 5,000 square feet or 100 square feet, though, you should take a look at your home. And this would be my minimalist challenge for you. Take a look at your home and see what it is doing to impact your mood. I know that sometimes I close my eyes to little messes or stressors because I just don't want to think about them. But if you take a look at your home and really think about, like, how does this make me feel? How do I feel when I look at this area or this space? You can kind of go through and do a little mental checklist about your home and your space. And it can be kind of a good gauge in helping you to determine what area you need to work on a little bit and improve. And maybe get rid of some things or relocate some things and kind of just make your space a space that is peaceful and inviting so that you can enjoy the benefits of whatever size of home you live in. I hope that you have an excellent week, and remember, my friends, that it is all about the experiences, not the stuff. I know you have a lot of listing options, so thanks for spending your time with me. If you enjoy this podcast, please consider leaving a review, telling a friend, or becoming a patron. You can click on the Patreon link in the description box to support the show for as little as $1 a month. I truly appreciate all forms of support. Thanks for being here.